Tonight's Big Brother podcast with Brendan and Rachel is sponsored in part by our friends over at Mazda. Does driving matter to you? Because there's over 4 million miles of road in the U.S. to find out. That's a lot of ground to cover. A lot of highways, freeways, wrong ways and long ways. They're all there waiting to be driven on. So do you take that left turn at Albuquerque or do you just keep going? Do you wake up early on Sunday morning for a drive before the traffic does? Or do you take that long, winding road home for a change? If driving matters to you, just get out there and drive. Why? Because driving matters. Mazda. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's ready for a Brential takeover.
Are you ready for a Brential takeover?
Yeah,
it's here, folks.
That's right.
It's here.
That's right.
We've been excited about this all week. You
good,
guys.
Good. I'm very excited to have Brendan and Rachel here.
Yay!
In the studio live tonight on what should be an unforgettable Sunday night Big Brother recap. How you guys doing?
Avi, we are so good. How are you?
Yes.
Looking good. I love your shirt.
Oh, thank you. No, it's not new.
Okay.
It's not new. We're here live on a Sunday night. RobHasAWebsite.com. We got the chat room open here on RobHasAWebsite.com. We're taking your tweets, hashtag RHAP. Brendan is on Periscope. Rachel is on Periscope. I think Brendan's got the better angle, though.
Yeah, but Brendan always competes with me. This is the problem. My husband competes with me all the time, every day. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've got identical twins that are competing eventually against each other. We have amazing race partners. You guys are amazing race partners. So it all makes sense
in the
scheme of things, our Big Brother 17. Also with us here tonight, not to be overshadowed by this insanity, is our very intrepid live feed reporter, Taryn Armstrong.
Taryn!
Say hello to Brential.
All right.
Hey, Brential.
What up, Taryn?
Hey, Taryn.
I'm not throwing this podcast to you guys, just so you know.
Thank you, Taryn. You know what? I just have to say that I'm going to watch you on Periscope and not Brendan.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How dare she?
Now, I had heard that Brendan and Rachel just came here directly from a foam party.
We were invited to a foam party, but we forgot to bring the most important essential of a foam party, which was apparently matching clothing.
Oh, matching clothing at a foam party.
A foam party.
Yes.
For everyone that watched the episode.
All right. Well, we are live and ready to go here. So why don't we just start off here talking about Big Brother 17 from the beginning. What are your thoughts on the seasons?
Well, and we also have to specify, Rachel will, if we do not tell her ahead of time, she will start talking about spoilers before we get the patented spoiler.
Yes, alert. We'll play the spoiler sound at the point where we're going to talk about spoilers. So here we're just talking about everything that's happened on the Big Brother TV show through episode number 8, I think so. Eight or nine, something like that, through Sunday night's episode, through the Battle of the Block from week 3. Mm-hmm. So why don't we just start off real quick? What are your thoughts on this season?
I really like this season. I'm actually super into it. The house is super crazy. I mean, they're like legit crazier than any other house that we've seen, I feel like, in a few seasons.
Season 9, wrong.
No, they're crazy in a different way. They're like crazy in the over-gaming craze. Like everyone is over-gaming. Like there's not, maybe Johnny Mac's the only person not over-gaming, I think.
I mean, there's just been a couple people over-gaming. It's not every single
everyone.
Person.
Everyone. Well, no. Like Meg is a floater, but that's it. Sorry for the Meg fans out there.
Yeah, Meg fan. Let's use one.
And Jackie. Yeah, Jackie's a floater. But besides them, everyone else is over-gaming. Which I kind of love watching because as a fan of the show, it's super fun to watch these people all go crazy about over gaming. And there's so many twists.
Well,
it's like a twist of a twist.
And initially
of a twist.
When we first came in and they started talking about doing the Battle of the Block again, the first thing I thought was, oh, great, here we go again, another Battle of the Block, which we hated the first time around. So who was the one that said it was their favorite? You fan out there?
It was a fan favorite.
One fan.
If you say it's a fan favorite, it has to be a fan favorite.
Okay, so we've got everything happening. We have all these people gaming. Do you guys feel like, does the season have legs?
Absolutely has legs. I mean, to be honest, this the great cast. I'm super sad that Devon is gone. I mean, God, she was such good DRs. Like, since Brittany Haynes, I have not seen better DRs than Devon. I mean, like, honestly, she was telling it real, like, how it was. Super sad she's gone. But I'm glad that We still have Audrey in the game. She's great. I love Steve. I love Johnny Mac. I mean, there's definitely people to root for this season, which is great because that's what you need. You know, you need a few good people to root for, and that's your Big Brother season for you right now.
Well, and I think for this season, is last season, the one thing that at least I complained about was the predictability factor. Mm-hmm. Is last season when we saw Battle of the Block, you saw a lot of patterns starting to form where you knew who was going home before Vito was ever played, and that gets kind of boring to watch. So I think this is the first time where we've seen a little bit more balanced Battle of the Block, where you have two teams on both sides that are nominated that are equally have an equal chance of winning. So I think at least it's becoming a little bit more interesting.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then Johnny Mac we've seen on every Battle of the Block, and he's been throwing it.
And I love watching Johnny Mac. I can't get enough of him.
That is the worst Johnny Mac impression I've ever heard.
I love him.
We get a Johnny Mac impression off.
Yeah.
Ready? No! No! You can't get enough Giant Man. Can't get enough Giant Man.
By the way, tomorrow we are going to be doing our Big Brother voicemail show as well. Get your voicemails in about tonight's Big Brother and everything in between. My guest from will be from Big Brother Canada 2, Netta will be my guest on the Voicemail Weekly Show, taking voicemails from the listeners. robinswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. A lot of talk tonight about the twins, but Rachel, It was your reporting, even in the preseason, that really blew the cover off this story and got a lot of fans talking about this way before it was ever talked about on the show. How did you and Ryan Carrillo find out about this stuff in the first place?
Okay, so this is so embarrassing. So we're like literally in Big Brother, we go to do the interviews preseason, and we're like, okay, we get our sheets, we read our bios, we read our like our facts about all these people, we do our research, we like go on Facebook all night long to like check it out. So we're like, oh my God, like Liz has a twin. It looks like she has a twin. So Liz comes into our room with her handler, and I'm not kidding you guys. Like this is 100% what happened. I have it on video. I should have brought the clip tonight, Rob. I didn't think about it. But I'm like, so Liz, you have a twin, right? And she's like, no, I don't have a twin. What are you talking about? And Ryan and I just look at each other because Shelly had a twin also. So at that point, we thought we had like totally messed up.
So you like Facebook stalk people before you interview them.
Yeah, we Facebook stalk. We get the name. We get the list of the people. Yeah. And so we like not just Facebook stalked.
Wow.
We like went crazy.
I did that.
Yeah, Brennan stayed up until 3 a.m.
So you Facebook stalk. So, wow, so this is like a sitcom.
It's a family affair.
Yeah, you guys are like the dating private detectives.
Yes.
And you guys investigate crimes.
Yes.
And
crimes
witnesses.
Crimes of Big Brother passion.
Wow.
Yeah. And we like, so as the second that we got, and by the way, we got the names the night before at like probably 10 p.m. So Brennan stayed up till 3 a.m. I stayed up until like, God, I don't even know what hour.
No, you went to bed at 11.
I did not. You're such a
liar. You went to bed at 11 that night.
That's not true. But anyways, so we stayed up for just like researching. Brennan literally made a cheat sheet for me of everything to ask them about, of all these like, we knew all these like fun facts, everything. So we get in and we're like super excited. I'm like, Liz has a twin. So she's like, no, I have
an older. Well, the Liz has a twin thing was on their paper, right?
Yeah. So, and that was in her bio, FYI.
It wasn't like some information that had been buried. That's what was really interesting.
So you brought up the twin thing and then they were like.
And she says, yes. So everyone.
She was the one who got weird.
Liz got weird, but no, everyone in the room.
Now, was it Liz or was it Julia?
No.
Was it Liz?
It was for sure Liz. Yeah. But everyone in the room with us, her handler and everyone just stared at us like we weren't supposed to say anything. And we're like, so we got super nervous. And she's like, oh no, I have an older sister. She's 10 months older. I have it on camera. I'm going to post the clip. I'll send it
now,
to Rob.
Are you worried
Rob
about me causing so much of a
course,
ruckus?
Of course, we're totally worried about causing a ruckus because we don't want to accidentally be that like jerkhead journalist that spoils it for her. And she's like, oh, someone in the house has a twin. Well, like honest to God, I had no idea. And Shelly had a twin. So we totally thought we spilled the beans. And of course, when you're asking these house guests questions, especially when you do your Facebook research, you don't want to spoil anything. So you don't want to like let them know any other people in the house, right? So we really thought we ruined it. So she says, no, 10 months older. And
but I will
that's
admit,
where this
in,
all came
in
from.
True tradition, in Big Brother
she told me 10 months older.
Fashion, We, of course, also thought that Keith from our season 13 would be coming in the house.
Because I did think that.
He has a twin as well. Yeah. So
we thought it was like a season of twin twists.
Yeah.
That was my prediction.
They should get Keith's twin and get him on a season.
That would be awesome, right?
Yeah. That would be awesome.
We would love to see Keith back.
All right. So much was going on tonight about the twins and the reveal. And we saw finally on the TV show, we saw Julia have that conversation with Vanessa. And then everybody in that alliance all finding out about it. And basically, almost everybody in the house knowing about it, with the exception of Audrey, which is so hilarious because she was so at the center of everything in the start of the game. And she's really just sort of like off in exile on her own island with this whole twin story. But talk to me about what you think ultimately is going to happen now with Liz / Julia. Do you guys think that they go on to survive all of this? Because it looked like when it was first found out last week, I said, oh, okay, well, she'll probably be out next.
Yeah.
But you have one half of the house saying like, oh, this is a good thing for us because now we'll have two people on our side.
And that's super interesting. I am shocked that the house actually thinks this because they're a duo. You never keep a duo in the house. They must think that they can like break them up later or something, but I think they're going to both make it through. And I think it's super dumb on the house. I don't want to see either one of the twins leave because as a viewer, I love the twins. I want the twins to be in both in. But as a house guest, if I was in that house, I would never let them both stay in. And if you think about it, voting them out before week five, you're voting out not just one person, but two.
I mean, but if I was in the house, I would definitely want to pull the twins because guess what? You get double the votes when.
But
when,
do you? When, what if they turn on you? You don't know.
Well, I mean, that's what you have to figure out while you're in the house. I mean, at first, I thought the twin twist, it gets shown. It turns out like the saboteur twist from our season 12 where you're kind of disappointed and it's busted long before it gets going. But now I actually think it's more interesting because now you have a situation where they know there's twins in the house and people are now trying to like figure out what kind of strategy they could use with it. So now I actually think the twin twist has gotten a little better since people found out, because not knowing now with even people finding out about the twin twist, we actually have the addition of a new pair of twins in the house. And apparently people are thinking that Clay has a twin, which is even making for more entertainment.
Yeah. It's very interesting this time around because it was such a blindside the first time they did the twin twist back in Big Brother 5. Yeah. But now you have all of the intrigue of who knows, who doesn't know, and how long are they going to keep up this charade?
Yeah.
Because one side of the house, they all officially are confirmed. They know that Liz and Julia are twins and they're switching, and Liz and Julia are being open about when they're switching. But the other side of the house has to, they are onto it, but they're lying and saying that they're not actually people that are switching. And the irony of all that is that side of the house that is being lied to is actually the side of the house that figured it out first, which is sort of the crazy thing, and sort of reported that back to other people.
Right.
And then they're going, and now that the other side of the house with the Vanessa and Austin side, they haven't known confirmed, they're going back and telling the other side, like, oh, no, I think this is, I think you're wrong about this. Yeah. I think it's only one person.
So do we know, is Audrey the legitimate only one in the house right now that has no idea what's going
on? Taryn, can you confirm any of this?
Yeah, Audrey's the only one who hasn't even heard a hint of it yet.
Nice. I love Audrey.
What planet is she living on?
She's living on the Big Brother Exile planet.
Yeah, nobody wants to talk to her.
Nobody wants to talk to Audrey.
I didn't know we had Exile Island this season.
Yeah, she's on Exile Island.
I mean, hey, it's going to work for her advantage in that long run, but it's super sad. I love her. I love watching her play this game.
Okay. Well, let's talk Audrey. And Audrey is somebody who had such a crazy first week in the house and then, you know, still drama last week. And now she really is sort of off on her own. You didn't get a chance to talk to Audrey when you first did the interviews.
Right.
Did you know something was up at that point?
Well, I was kind of upset because she was a Rachel fan and I had no idea going in, obviously. Like, you would never know just from a picture. So when we found out that she was a Rachel fan, Brendan and I were like super excited. I was like, oh my God, she's going to be my girl. This is going to be the best interview. And then she got pulled. I mean, she got pulled at like noon and we probably would have gotten her after lunch or something. But anyways, we were really disappointed because of the TMZ story that broke. And I guess it broke early. I don't know what their deal was. I don't know what TMZ's deal is ever. But we had no idea until Brennan text messaged me like halfway through the day and was like, hey, are you going to interview Audrey later? There's this big TMZ story. Go check it out. and I checked it out, and we were even more excited. We actually, no lie, we were not even going to ask her about her sexuality. We were honestly just going to ask her about Big Brother. If it came out and she wanted to talk about it, we were like cool with it. But if not, we were just like, okay, whatever. It's Big Brother. Like, let's talk about Big Brother, you know? So it was a bummer, but I never had any idea she would play the game like this. I thought she would be super competitive and go in, but
like
never
Dexter
like
Morgan.
Well, Dexter's like,
oh, I mean,
she
Leather
is playing
face.
Like Dexter though.
More like Jason from Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
No, but she is playing
Nightmare on Elm Street.
It's just so crazy because who would have ever thought we'd have this person who is transgender going into the house, and the last thing we would ever be talking about is her being transgender. It's so much talking about the game, but she's in this spot where now nobody really wants to work with her. Do you guys feel like she can ever bounce back from this? Because in some ways, Brendan, in your first season, were you sort of in this position, like after Rachel left the house, and you were sort of the last person standing from that, where people didn't really want to work with you? Could you relate at all to being in that position?
Yeah, definitely. I do specifically remember that exact feeling where you know pretty much where everything lies. Like, you know, kind of, you know, with Audrey, it was really early in the game when this started happening. So I think that's the one difference that she has over me, is that she really has a very long time to come back from this. And in Big Brother, like, even our first season, I remember thinking that when you win that $5,000 or $10,000 in one of those games, that everyone's going to target you next week. The truth is in Big Brother, when 1 week rolls around later, people forget what happened last week. Mm. So there's a very good chance that Audrey will come back from this.
Yeah. And I think she will. I think we've been seeing her skate through every week. I think she's going to skate through to jury, and I bet you money anything she's going to be super competitive and just start winning.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think she's been marked. People just think that she's just like poison pill. They're not going to go near her because nobody's going to take her to the end. I think that they're going to let her know.
Or they're going to take her to the end, and she's going to have an amazing final two speech saying, "You guys have been targeting me since week one." Because why wouldn't they take her to the end? They think everyone hates her. But the truth be told is that if she can make it to the end with this same target on her back, she's a perfect candidate to win because she made it to the end with all odds against her.
Right. She has such an interesting story and such an interesting case because she has the thing about her where everybody was against her and everybody in the house dislikes the game that she's been playing. So she has this great storyline going of that she's the ultimate goat that you want to take to the end. However, we forget about somehow that the first thing that we found out about her was that she's this person who's going through this, amazing, brave journey of being the first transgender contestant in the house. And we would have said from the start, you know, no way you could bring this person to the end because everybody's going to give them their votes. So you have those two things that you have to sort of reconcile.
Yeah. The thing is with Big Brother, people forget week to week. They forget and not only that is that she's super brave and I love her so much for doing what she's doing, but also like as a player, she is also this player that is super being like attacked and targeted every single week because she was planting all these seeds. She did it to herself, like no lie for sure. But she's now stepping back enough to where she's saying, "Hey, I'm a huge target. Keep me." Even we saw Austin say today, you know, he's like, as soon as Audrey goes home, I'm the next big target. And he's 100% spot on. You keep Audrey in this game because she's always someone that's a bigger target than you. So you think in your head, okay, I'm just going to keep Audrey because she'll go out before I do. But then the thing is, everyone votes out the other person because they think the same thing. And it keeps going on and keeps going on.
Okay, let's talk about the nominations tonight and at least the thinking behind it. You have Vanessa and Austin who are working together. They're both on the same side of the house. They're coming up with what they want to do. Vanessa wants to be the HOH more so than Austin because he doesn't really want to get the blood on his hands. Back to what you're saying about Austin, he doesn't want to target any of these big guys. Should he be putting his foot down more, or is he better off just letting Vanessa call the shots for the both of them?
Absolutely. Austin's being really smart right now because he knows what's going on. And the fact that he nominates Meg and Jason, he's not in danger with Meg and Jason. Let's be real. I love him, but Meg and Jason aren't winning nothing. You know what I mean? Like, they might, but if they do, are they really going to target Austin anyway?
Well, it's not even
no.
Jason. You just think Meg. You're thinking, okay, You got dead weight in your competition. Right. You're thinking Meg's not going to win. So
well, and I think Austin knew because they both, Vanessa and Austin, had worked together to make sure that Johnny was going to throw the battle of the block. So they knew. So Austin is playing really smart, letting Vanessa get the blood on her hands, letting Vanessa go after these big guys while still letting, you know, all this other stuff happen in the house where Vanessa can get out of Jeff. And Austin is HOH too, and he's working right with Vanessa, but it looks like Vanessa is the one getting them out.
So even coming into this, we also think about how Austin and Vanessa established a relationship before going to the HOH competition.
Exactly.
Because that's what's really key in Big Brother, to make sure that you have that relationship before the HOH ever gets played. Because once the HOH is played, oh yeah, guess what? Everybody wants to be your friend. So you got to really try to figure out who were the friends beforehand. So the fact that Austin had a relationship with Vanessa beforehand, I think is a definitely good indication for him that he could be the person to come off as HOH and still be safe this week.
And Austin is playing really smart with teaming up with Vanessa and teaming up with Liz and Julia. He's getting all these girls on his side so that way these girls think, oh, well, no, Austin's our big physical guy. You know what I mean? So they're not going to go bring in another physical guy. So Austin is good with everyone.
So what do you think about the strategy behind what Vanessa ultimately wants to do this week? And again, only going up through the battle of the block tonight.
Mm-hmm. I think Austin's playing smart. I think he's really smart letting Vanessa be the final HOH, getting the blood on her hands. Because when it does come down to it in that house, you don't remember who the other half of the battle of the block was. But you do remember that Vanessa was the HOH. And you remember that Vanessa got out whomever. And you, like last week, remember, you know, that they got out Devon. You don't remember. I don't even remember who won the other Battle of the Block winner was last week.
From the first week?
No, from last week. Just from last week.
Oh, Jason and Steve?
Right. But I mean, no. No, the winners. The final HOH.
You know, she's saying whoever. She's saying the person that comes down as HOH.
Yeah, it was Becky
remembered.
And Shelly. But so I'm saying nobody's going to remember Becky, that Becky won Battle. That Becky was HOH. Nobody
but I do
cares.
Remember that Becky but got they, hit by a train.
I do remember that too. But they will also remember that Shelly got out Devon in the end. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. So you feel like you like the idea of backing out as the second HOH.
Absolutely. I think the smartest thing you can do as a Battle of the Block is backing out as the second HOH. Making that deal, your HOH, I'm making a deal with the other HOH so you don't backdoor me or nominate me. But I'm also then backing out as the HOH and letting you take the blood on your hands because now I'm safe and I guarantee my own safety.
But Rob also did have a good point because we were discussing this during the Rob. What was your
we
point?
Watched the episode tonight. And it was a little tough because Dominic was running around. There was Nicole
He's
was
so
talking.
Cute.
Yes,
Rachel has baby on the brain.
A lot going on during the episode tonight. But we were talking about this, and you want to touch on this?
Oh, yeah. So Rob was just pointing out that, yeah, he thinks that, yeah, because I was arguing that, yeah, I think it's a good idea if you can come down as HOH and make sure that the HOH is doing what you want to do and then not get the blood on your hands. But then Rob also pointed out, like last week, where Becky wanted one thing and Shelly wanted another. So I guess it really does depend on who is the other HOH with you. Because if you can do that, I think that is the best situation. But if you think that the person is not going to, of course she does. Of course she drops a periscope. story of her life. So, moving on.
I'll be right back.
All right.
Oh my gosh.
For those of you guys listening in the audio version, Rachel was touching her periscope as we were going and she dropped it. I think you got a pretty good view of it on the video version. Taryn, you catch that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That could be, I think I see a GIF coming for this. Yeah. But that's when Rachel knocked over her periscope and is going to go fix it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people in the Big Brother history that have made a deal with somebody promising their own safety. Kacer certainly comes to mind.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, great, I made a deal. Boom. And then could find themselves being out in that scenario too. We haven't had an HOH from Battle of the Block who ends up getting blindsided yet, but it's coming.
It has to come. I mean, if it doesn't come this season...
I think it'll happen this season.
If it doesn't come this season, it'll happen when I go.
Well, if it doesn't come this season, hopefully we retire the Battle of the Block.
What happened to Nicole last season?
But yeah, I mean,
did Nicole?
What?
Wasn't Nicole? She HOH and then went out on her HOH?
Did she?
Did we? Okay. Well, then
we need a historian.
Check that. Either one way or the other, it'll probably happen again this season. All right. So that being said, let's just talk about the actual people that were targeted this week right. by the nominees. So, of course, it wouldn't be a week of Big Brother if Johnny Mac wasn't on the block.
Yeah. Right? What, Johnny Mac is the ultimate pawn for them.
He's the ultimate pawn, but he is... has a weird thing going that we've never seen before, especially, well, there's only been two seasons with Battle of the Block, but he has this thing where he, you put him up on the block and he is like really good at this and he'll throw the competition for people. And I want to know from you guys, is this a good strategy? And then, as we saw last week, then he won the veto. So he's like, oh, I'm so bad in the competitions, but then he can go out and win a competition when it's for him. Now, is that the kind of thing where if you're Johnny Mac, are you in danger of, if word gets out that he's always throwing the battle of the blocks, a lot of people are going to know that information. It's fine if he did it once, but if he's getting that reputation of being the guy like, hey, you put Johnny Mac out on the battle of the block, he's going to throw it, screw the other person over. That person's not always going to go home. You would think eventually, isn't Johnny Mac going to get blood on his hands if he keeps doing this?
Yes and no.
No! No!
Okay, yes and no. Because I think no, because... I don't think that people are going to really pay attention that much because, remember, it changes so much week to week in Big Brother. But, yes, he is really walking a fine line where if someone wanted to get pissed off at him, this is his, you know, second battle of the block he's thrown. And this time people are going to start, you know, people are just going to start noticing and they're going to get pissed. And if James doesn't go home this week, he's going to be livid because he's going to be like, dude, I could have gone home because of you. So... he has to be really careful, but by the same token, people forget everything week to week.
Well, I think it's it depends on upon the numbers, because as the season progresses, you get less and less people in the house. And the less people there are in the house, the more obvious things become. Mm-hmm. So if you have somebody in the house who is winning competitions, when there's only 7 people, it's very obvious. When there's 11 people, 12 people, 13, 14 people, there's usually other people in the house for them to be distracted by. So i.e. the Audreys, the Jeffs, the James, you know. So I don't think right now Johnny Mac is in a huge position. But given that he's doing this 4 or 5 weeks from now and still continuing, then I think people will be looking at him as a possible threat.
For sure. And someone on Periscope just made the point that Johnny Mac hasn't really had to actually throw these yet. He's only been letting these other players throw themselves under the bus. So like last week we saw with Devon, horrible strategy. Johnny Mac just didn't try. Devon went home. This week, James, horrible strategy, just wasn't good at the competition. They don't win Battle of the Block.
What do you guys think of the foam party?
I love the foam party.
I mean, I don't know if James could see above the foam.
No, I don't. I don't think.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. This isn't even a joke. I think the foam probably was near eye level for James. Well, so it was probably getting right in his
eyes.
Was
it also a problem for James that he was very distracted by they threw a lot of women out there in bathing suits?
Yes, absolutely.
What do you think about when James said in the episode tonight that he's never heard no from women so much as he did in that competition?
You're like, James,
I don't believe it.
What kind of women are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't buy it. Meg has told him no like every day.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he got told no like 4 times within the first hour of being in Big Brother.
But it must have been very distracting for James. I mean, that's like his kryptonite.
When they start calling him creepy James, that's not a good thing.
Yeah. So
I think James was probably super distracted by all the hot girls in bikinis, but I think like in all actuality, he wasn't even paying attention to the competition.
Because he couldn't see because the foam was in his eyes.
The foam was in his eyes. Now, how odd would that have been for you guys in the Big Brother house to be in the backyard and have actual people there?
It's super weird.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've never seen them do any competitions like this ever. Like, I'm surprised, like, none of those people talk to the house guests. Like, that's crazy.
I mean, it does seem like that they went out of their way to, like, okay, let's get more people in bathing suits in the house. I mean, it really seems like am I missing something?
No, but you know what? I was thinking the whole time when I saw these people in bathing suits, like, well, how do we know that one of these girls didn't shove a note up her, like, bra and then
shove a note up your bra?
I don't know. Like, why wouldn't they? Like,
oh, my Lanta.
Okay. Well, you know what? They could have. That's all I have to say.
What?
That's wild.
Okay. Whoa, any that's note. Wild. They could have taken a note and given it to any of these players. Like,
I mean, what are the chances that bunch of people, like bikini models from like Central Casting, know Big Brother? Probably not
exactly.
Great.
What if somebody got a note that said, you can't trust Audrey?
Yes, they could. That's what I'm saying.
They and they were like, yeah, note. Duh, I already know that.
Well, trying to give me something more useful.
Yeah,
exactly.
This could have been much worse.
Yeah.
I love her overly enthusiastic DR sessions, by the way.
We were talking about this when we were watching the episode, and this came up on Thursday night's podcast also. Is Audrey good TV?
No,
she's good live show. She's not good DR sessions, because every her time DR she's session. Telling me that she's,
when you say live show, you mean the feeds?
I mean,
or
no. Well, the feeds, yes, and I think even the clips on the show, she's interesting because she just goes back and forth. Nobody, she's a curveball, always in the game. She's gonna pop out through uptime. You never know which way she's going, where she's coming from. She's out of left field, but in the DR sessions, when she's talking, she's like, I'm so angry right now, and you're just like, come on, are you really angry? Are you really upset? She's not emotional. I want to see her at least really get emotional in the diary room for once.
Yeah. Everyone on Periscope said Johnny Mac has the best DRs. He does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does. Well, he really goes for it.
He does
go
for it.
That's interesting where Audrey tells us her emotion, but she does not seem to emote very much. Taryn, am I missing anything? Can you think of something that she said emotional?
Not too much. I mean, she was a little down when she was starting to get outcast, but I think the thing that she adds to not only the show, but like the feeds to everything, is that she's such an unstable force in the house that she's been such a linchpin for the chaos that's happened in the house. So without Audrey, I think we don't get as exciting a season. So even if she's not lightning on TV, she's adding so much to the house.
Whatever it takes, Thunderbuns.
That's amazing. Yeah. I have to have that.
She was talking to you, Taryn.
Oh, my.
Oh, my Lanta.
No, you're 100% right, though, Taryn. It's like, without Audrey, we would not have a show, because they would just, I don't even know what they would be doing, because they're just, like, she makes so much of this show. And, like, Devon, like, it's sad that Devon's not there, because it's not as exciting as it was
Davon,
last week.
Davon.
Yeah.
Davon, I'm sorry.
Did you interview Davon? After?
I did. Yeah. I did. Actually, our interview will be out tomorrow on wetpainttv.com.
Okay. Can you talk about how it went with her?
Yeah, it went awesome. She's in great spirits. I love her so much. She basically, you know, said the same thing. Like, there was no chance for her after she went after Audrey and was so vocal about it. She said there's no chance, because everyone was just like, let's get her out. Let's get her out. Let's get her out. And she was the sacrificial lamb.
Do you do a video or phone her?
We do videos.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we did a phone with Jace, because everyone did, but we did a video.
Okay. And so where are those videos?
It will be on wetpainttv.com and the reality channel.
Okay, wow. So that's exciting.
Thank you.
So Davon comes in, or you go to CBS?
We go to CBS. Okay. We go to CBS a lot, and we interview all the evicted house guests up to jury.
Very nice. Very nice. Look at you.
You know, no big deal, no big deal.
Even after you uncovered the whole twin scandal?
Yeah, after the twin scandal was uncovered, we still get to interview people.
Wow.
You know, it's funny, though, because when we interview them, we ask them a lot of really good questions, but then it's almost like, well, how many times can you ask someone what they could have done different? You know,
the only thing I did not like about Davon was her talking about these girls being thick. I mean, I grew up.
You did
up,
not like the thickums.
I did not, because I grew up using that term. All my friends used to.
Thickums.
Yes, not thickums, but thick, calling a girl thick. And I not necessarily a derogatory term, but none of those girls in that house are thick at all.
No.
See, there's skinny, there's medium, then maybe there's thick. And I wouldn't even call Liz medium.
Like, Liz average. Is tiny.
She's skinny,
dude,
right?
Dude, I interviewed her pre-show, and I was like, this girl needs to eat a hamburger. Yeah. Like, she is super tiny. Liz and Julia both. Every single one of those girls are gorgeous.
I think
so,
Davon
whatever.
Was just stuck on the fact that she went out before Audrey, and she couldn't get over it, because it was very hard to deal with. You had this crazy girl the week before, and then all of a sudden she went off everybody's radar.
Yeah, I mean, but that's Big Brother, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That's how I played the game.
Talk to me about Vanessa and what she's trying to do so far this week, because her targets here that she wants to get one of these alpha males out of the house. We talked about it from Austin's perspective, that he doesn't want that to happen. But from Vanessa's point of view, is this a smart move for her right now to try to take out one of the guys from the other side of the house? Or would she have been better off to not make an aggressive play this week?
I think it would have been better for Vanessa to let Austin win and let Austin get the blood on his hands, because the problem with Vanessa is that she is kind of already been all over the place, like all over the map with her emotions. And
she's had a little bit of HOHitis.
Yeah, she is getting HOHitis this week. She's super on a power trip, and she was she's a little emotional last week. She was a little emotional in the very beginning, and now she's trying to pin this all on. Can we do that? Spoiler alert.
Let's come back to it.
Okay.
Let's,
so, but even with her emotions right now. So, with her whole, like, her James, that's a danger. I mean, James is dangerous. You don't want to really, I wouldn't really want to mess with him. You know, Johnny Mac, even though you're making a deal with Johnny Mac, I still wouldn't really necessarily, as Vanessa, want to go against Johnny Mac. Austin made the right, nominations. If I was Vanessa, I almost would have nominated, like, maybe Becky and maybe, you know, someone else. Like, if I was going to nominate James, then, you know, you want to backdoor these bigger guys.
Okay. So for Vanessa, we'll have to see how it all plays out, and we'll talk about everything from the feeds and what's going on with the veto when we get to that point later on coming up in the show. I want to talk about this TMZ story, and let me talk about it here before we get to the live feeds, because it's not something that happened on the live feeds. I guess it's something that happens on the live feeds, but yeah, not something that's going to be covered on the show.
Sure.
So there was a story that came out on Friday, and the story, which I got sent the link on Twitter Friday morning, reported by TMZ, that the story alleged that Jeff in the house was in bed with Liz, mm-hmm, and TMZ claimed, and didn't even claim, like definitively said that he was being his own best friend. Okay, he was master of his own domain.
Yes, master.
While he was in bed with Liz or Julia.
Yeah,
was it? We don't know.
I think it was Julia.
You think it was Julia? Yeah. And then claimed that he then put a bodily fluid onto her back.
Very PC. Good job, Rob.
Mid-conversation with her.
And disgusting.
And TMZ reported this as news, that the headline was that a Big Brother contestant, dude, you can't, you know, masturbate on your housemates. That is the headline in this story.
Which I think is pretty shocking when you first hear that, because everyone, when I first heard this, it was like, what? Like, you had to ask what, like, three times, because you're just like, I just couldn't get over it.
Yes.
And even going to the TMZ, you watch it, and you're just like, is that what he's, I mean, but then again, this is also, it reminds me of one of those things like the white noise. Have you ever heard those white noise tapes where you're like, oh yeah, now I can hear it, now that you told me what's being said in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like kind of like suggestion, you know? Like if you were to say that this is happening and you watch the video, it becomes easier to see it. So it's hard for me to know really honestly, objectively, if I would think that if I was watching the video.
Now, Taryn, you've seen this clip also?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me just say what I have to say. And this, when you watch the video, I don't know how they got this from watching this video. Yeah. This seems like, if this was like a thread on Joker's Update or on Survivor Reddit, I would think that they would just like delete the thread, because they say, this is inconclusive evidence on this. TMZ went, it's a published story. It was on the TV show. It was all over the place. And I have not seen any evidence that would support this claim that they are making. And there's lots of reasons to not like Jeff, and he's been a real pig in the house.
Super creepy.
But I don't know how they come out with this.
No, I think it's not fair for them to print this. I mean, TMZ is obviously super salacious. They just feed off of stuff. But I think, like, with this, I don't know what's going on, but I don't think that he's doing anything that is really as bad, but he is obviously super creepy.
Well, I mean, even very early on, Rachel and I were, you know, we heard James along with Jeff. They both were saying just like disgusting things.
Yeah,
and they were being very, very disrespectful to the female house guests in the house. And even as former house guests, neither of us could imagine acting like that towards anyone else in the house. Like being over the top disgusting. So the problem was, I think the story could have come and gone very easily if Jeff had not had that reputation in the house already. So that's kind of what I think, fueled the fire.
Right. You know? And it was a believable story based on some of the things we've heard about Jeff on the live feeds or heard him say on the live feeds. The problem is that this story was just out there. Most people don't even watch Big Brother that are on the website. They're like, oh my God, that guy is disgusting.
Oh, it's just,
I mean, this
it's
is just a thing that's going to follow this guy throughout the rest of his life. And actually, on the webpage for it, then this story was published at early in the morning. It was published at 6:17 a.m. on Friday. There was an update at 9:45 a.m. that says, well, and again, in small letters underneath the main headline of a Big Brother contestant caught, blah, blah, blah. Underneath, there's a little update that says, a new camera angle surfaced, and this one appears to clear Jeff's name.
And the alternate angle is supplied by CBS.
Yes. Looks like there really was a stain on Julia's shoulder prior to him touching her. Well, could you take the article down?
Yeah.
Could you not leave up the headline of what Jeff is doing this on his housemates, and then underneath, like, oh, I guess it didn't really happen.
I mean, no matter what your feelings are towards Jeff, because we're the same way, it's like, trust me, like, even when, you know, you got to understand that when these people get off the house, they're, you know, it's not the celebrity that you think. We're not getting off. You're not making tons of money. So a lot of these people are going off. They're losing jobs based on what is printed and what is, you know. So this is a very damaging thing. So I actually.
It's super messed
up. As much as we dislike Jeff, especially in the very beginning, it's like I do feel horrible for this.
Because I guarantee a lot of people heard the headline or saw it on Twitter and did not go back later and read print of the retraction of, oh, I guess it didn't really happen.
Well, if you're watching TMZ, the show, and they don't retract it on the TV show,
right?
Then what are you to think? You know, it's awful. It's super bad. The TMZ does this to Big Brother contestants all the time. They make Big Brother people look bad, and I think like it's bad. But you know, whether or not like we like Jeff or not, if he is creepy or not, this article is not cool.
It's not like you could say, like, oh, well, it was an honest misunderstanding. Because I got to say, when I watched the video, it definitely seemed like that was what was going on. Yeah. Like, I mean, this guy, forget about Vanessa Rousseau. What a poker face on this guy if this was true. I mean, he's having a conversation.
Yeah.
He's, like, talking about, like, the
talking
weather.
Talking about multitasking.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But
I mean, the brighter side, maybe Jeff gets out of the show and makes more money afterwards by suing TMZ.
I don't know. I don't know what you can or what you can or can't do. But that bummed me out that they did that.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where he's guilty before, you know, proven innocent or even given the chance to prove his innocence. So the fact that we didn't see CBS address this issue or release some major story covering the topic, definitely made me think, okay, this isn't anything. So it does suck. It sucks because he's in there and he can't do anything.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into taking some questions with Brendan and Rachel, and then we'll get into taking stuff from the live feed. So questions about stuff that is not in the live feeds part of the show. All right. So let's go ahead and take some questions. Let's start off with this one. This is a question because it's from Zahul, who says, Rachel, who do you love now that you didn't care for from your preseason interviews?
Johnny Mac. I did not like him preseason. I kind of was just... Well, actually, preseason, I said, Johnny Mac, does anyone compare you to Dan? Can someone please give me gratification that he does talk like Dan Gieseling, always yelling in the camera.
Oh, the yelling. Yeah, the yelling. No, not the voice.
But the yelling... but I like him. I like him watching him on camera. I love watching him on the show. I think that I was a little like, well, obviously I was super wrong. I thought Jace would be final three. Cause I was like, well,
you and Rob are both wrong. So don't feel bad.
I know. I love Jace. I thought he was like super Jace. I was like, who's going to want to vote out this guy? He's great.
Yeah,
he's hippie.
Seems so
he's
nice.
So fun.
He seems to get along with everyone.
No.
I don't know. I like this cast though. I do like this cast.
Yeah. We're live and learn with the Jace thing. Yeah. All right. Let's take this question. This is from Brittany Scott. What are the advantages and disadvantages of having the twins in your alliance? All right. The advantages are that they're a number. What are some disadvantages of having the twinnies in your alliance?
There's no advantage whatsoever because they're twin sisters. They're never going to turn on each other. They are not playing this game at separate people. They're playing this game together. They are the same as a showmance. So when you have them in your alliance, you're essentially aligned with a showmance, which one way you can look at it like, okay, fine. They're going to get broken up before I will. But when it comes down to it, like, they're might not get broken up because they might actually be really good at winning competitions. And we don't know. It's too early to tell.
I don't know. I mean, at this point, I do kind of look at Liz and Julia as, I mean, they are floaters. So there is a good chance that you could bring into your group two floaters who could easily float to the other side if the power shifts and it's, you know, it's their butt on the line. So that is also the problem.
Liz and Julia final two?
Liz and Julia.
No way. No way.
The boats are split down the middle, ironically.
Yeah. I also want to mention the counterpoint to having another person come in and that kind of lowering your odds is that the finale date is already set. So a lot of the house guests are theorizing that if the twins don't come in, they're probably just going to have someone come back from jury anyway. So it might be better to have somebody you know as an ally have an extra person come in as opposed to someone who you don't know who they are.
That's smart.
Taryn, that's genius. But are any of these house guests saying that? Because I watched
Vanessa.
Vanessa said it?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's smart.
She is smart.
Do you think that we could potentially have a Topaz situation in a Liz Julia final too? Like, oh no, I wanted Thickums. What do you mean she won? No, I wanted her.
Excuse me.
Yeah. I don't think there's any way they'll make final two.
Oh, I wanted to make final two so bad.
Jason Rivera says, is Austin being edited as an idiot savant?
Yes. I mean, I don't think savant. I think he's just being edited as an idiot.
I like Austin.
I know, but I think
he was really
good
in the preseason interviews.
He was so good preseason.
He really did well.
You guys, he does a Big Brother show after show. And
yes, he used to do on AfterBuzz,
yeah,
right?
On AfterBuzz.
He knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff. He's playing smart. And what he said to me going into the show was he is not going to be that guy that goes in and that is a physical threat. He's not going to be that guy that goes in and is best friends with all the guys. He's doing exactly what he said, and I really like him.
Yeah. Well, actually, Taryn would be a good person to ask about this, right? Taryn, what do you think about him in terms of how he's looking on the feeds versus on the show?
I think it's pretty accurate. I mean, they showed that he's kind of got his head in the clouds a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he's a little too preoccupied with the girls and which ones he thinks might have a crush on him.
Oh, really? That's what I was missing. I didn't know that. Who is Austin like?
Liz.
Or is it
Liz and Jackie?
Oh, really?
Jackie is so boring. This is the worst Amazing Race people they could have brought in. For the love of Amazing Race.
Oh, well, what do you mean? I thought aren't they pretty good Amazing Race people?
Are you joking? Can I press the no button, please?
No!
No!
No! They are the worst. There are so many good Amazing Racers. I mean, I would have liked to see the Twinnies on more than these people, and they just won Survivor. Like, they are not competitive. They are floaters. They're not causing drama. They're not doing anything. I don't even see Jackie on the feeds. Is she even in the house?
But they went on. They met on a blind date on The Amazing Race. Isn't that exciting?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rachel, I think Jackie switches out with somebody who doesn't exist.
Right? Exactly. Jackie has a twin twist, and she has a ghost twist where it's like she's floating around the house as a ghost.
She just goes into the DR and disappears for a few days. Exactly. And nobody notices.
She goes and stays in a hotel room for a couple days.
And comes back 4 days later.
That's part of the blind date of you don't see her half the time.
Nobody has noticed. Yeah,
it's like I have a date, but I can't see her. Okay, let's take this question. This is from Jared, who says, why is Austin hurting his long-term game by telling Meg and Jason the plan is to backdoor Audrey, but it's not? Is that helping Audrey? No?
It doesn't matter because if anything happens, Austin just says, I wasn't the HOH.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It doesn't hurt his game because the plan is to backdoor Audrey, but when they don't backdoor Audrey, or if they do, all Austin has to say is like, I had no idea. I didn't get to make the final decision. Vanessa changed her mind.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
really,
that
Austin
actually
ends
is
up throwing
that
Vanessa under
good.
The bus.
I like that. I think that's actually a good idea to, I mean, definitely put it on the person next to you. Put it on the HOH, right? I mean, if you're not getting the blood in your hands, you're not getting the credit for sending somebody home, then yeah, let her take it.
Okay. Let's take another question and let's get to live feeds. Spring Willis. Hey, Brenchel. If you had your pick of any Amazing Race duo other than yourselves, Who would you guys like to see play on Big Brother? Who would it be?
Okay, I would honestly, I'd pick Jason and Amy, or I'd pick Rachel and Dave, or I would have picked the couple from last season that were the runners-up on The Amazing Race, the lawyers. They were amazing. And they won every, almost not every competition, but they won a lot. I want to see a competitive Amazing Race team come on to Big Brother. Not,
I think the Afghanimals would have been good.
The Afghanimals would have been amazing. But I mean, I'm thinking because they might have wanted a male and a female.
I mean, so you guys gotta understand, from Amazing Race standpoint, having raced Amazing Race twice and Big Brother done Big Brother twice,
the only team that never got eliminated.
There we go, Hong Kong. nonetheless, okay, get that away from her.
I moved it so far away before the podcast started,
like octopus arms reaching all the way over there. So Amazing Race is a great. It's fun. It's intense, but the intensity is between...
The Amazing Race is nice and good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. Amazing Race is fun and good.
It's fun and good.
At least that's what Rachel was told.
But I think, like, with the Amazing Race is that there's these teams on Amazing Race that are super competitive, and why did they bring a team of duds when they could have brought a team
of studs?
A team of studs, yeah! They could have brought a competitive team, they could have brought a dramatic team, they could have brought a crazy team.
Here's what I want to know. So I'm watching the second night of Big Brother, and we hear like, oh, it's time for takeover.
Get ready for a takeover!
Take it over, bro!
And here comes Phil, and he comes out, and he's like, well, Julie, I've had to put up with my share of Big Brother people on The Amazing Race. And they showed
the best teams ever.
Yeah, they showed clips of Jeff and Jordan. They showed clips of you guys. And it made it seem like Phil doesn't want you guys on The Amazing Race. And it's like, you know what? How about you take my two most boring contestants and you put up with them for
right?
all summer?
That is what he did. Exactly. And so, like, they take the Big Brother winners, like, or Big Brother good teams. And speaking of which, why did Allison get shunned from that Amazing Race video, right? Because Allison was on, and she was on Big Brother. But anyway,
that is true.
It's like they showed these clips of how we made Amazing Race awesome and history, and then they bring on Amazing Race not awesome and no history.
Well said, Rachel. We should write that down.
I mean, Disappointing, Phil Keegan.
I mean, no, obviously, Rachel watches the clip and it's all her crying. Of course, she gets upset. She's less like, why did they show me crying?
And she's crying. So mad.
No, clip of her crying while watching the clip of her crying.
Yeah.
I was. That's weird.
It was ironic.
Okay.
Coincidental. I'm not sure.
All right, so let's get into talking about the live feed stuff. Of course, if you're going to hop out here, you don't want to hear about the live feeds, get your voicemails in for my voicemail recap tomorrow with Netta. We're going to record that in the afternoon, so we'll talk about everything after the veto ceremony happens and all that stuff. robinthewebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Yes.
Can I record a voicemail for Netta?
Sure. We'll do that after the show.
We can do that later.
Unless you have it now.
Just don't.
No. We'll do it after the show. All right. You guys ready to talk spoilers?
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right. Rachel was going to burst. We have to talk about spoilers.
Spoiler alert!
Oh my God. Okay. And she held it this long. I'm very proud of her. Usually she's already told you who won the season.
All right. Taryn, all right. Start taking us through it. Let's just talk about where we stand now. So we had our nominees end up being Johnny Mack and James.
No!
After the
Battle of the Block. Was that the soundbite or was that?
No, that was Brendan.
It's so good.
He's improved so much through this podcast and his Johnny Mac impressions. Exponentially getting better. All right, so take us through where we stand with the veto.
The veto, I think Audrey, Shelley, and Austin were drawn to play the veto. And Vanessa wanted anybody but John or James to win so she could keep the noms the same. So she wouldn't have to get extra blood on her hands. And it was an elimination kind of veto, and it came down to Austin and Johnny Mack, and Austin threw it to Johnny Mack right at the end because he would prefer Jeff to leave, because if Johnny Mack takes himself off the block, Jeff has to go up to replace him.
Genius, Austin.
So was Johnny Mack wins the veto. Well, it was obvious. Vanessa was pissed at him. And she was like, you threw that, didn't you?
Yeah.
She was very angry.
Not Austin. Austin.
So Johnny Mac won the veto. They haven't done the ceremony yet, but Jeff is going to be the replacement. There's a lot of drama that's gone in to that.
From what I understand, I was reading the reports overnight, about 4 a.m. Big Brother time. Lots of drama going down on the feeds. Are you guys are awake and watching that?
Oh my god! Okay, so I went back and watched. I was not awake last night, but I went back and watched. Okay. So Vanessa makes up this huge big fight with Jeff. This huge, like, over the top, blown. I mean, I have not seen this good acting on Big Brother in a long time. Maybe she wasn't acting, but like it was epic. I hope they play it in the episode just to get everyone to be mad at Jeff. But I think it was stupid because she ended up making herself look like an emotional wreck. She ended up making herself look kind of like a Bia Bia. And yes, she's going to get to nominate Jeff with no blood on her hands. But I don't think it was smart. She thinks she's playing a poker player card. I would have not gone that way and just backdoored him. Who cares? Who cares? He's going to go home.
Taryn, the issue for Vanessa was that she didn't want to just put him up on the block without there being a reason. Is that correct?
Yes, and she made that very, very clear.
Why? What's the problem with that?
Well, basically, I think she realized that she made a mistake in staying HOH if she's going to backdoor Jeff, because if she just randomly makes a move to backdoor Jeff, it kind of outs her as somebody who's really playing the game and going after the other side. So she tried to create kind of like a more drama focused reason as opposed to strategic reason, so it wouldn't look like she's the strategic mastermind or that she has people behind her, so that at the very least she wouldn't be the main target for retaliation.
So tell
me, that doesn't make sense, because then it makes her next week
she backpedals,
and next week I look at her and I'm like, Vanessa's a super emotional player and she's kind of a Bia Bia, and she went after my side of the house.
What's Bia Bia?
I don't know.
You know, it's a song.
Besides the hashtag for this episode of this podcast.
No, it's a, you know, not a nice way to call a lady. Yeah.
How do you spell that? B-E-A-B-E-A?
I think it's B-I-A.
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 Nobody has said this before.
In 1998, they said it. Yeah.
Nobody said that.
In 1998, they said it. Love you, bae.
Love you,
bae. Not bae. It's Bia. But in 1998, I think there's a song about it.
What's the song?
Bia Bia, why you acting like a? No, nobody's heard this song.
All right,
Taryn, have you heard that song?
I have not heard that song.
We're gonna go ahead and cut that segment out of the podcast.
Taryn, have you heard the song?
No. Well, that's a negative on all fronts.
I'm kind of
embarrassed a long time ago.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, guys.
So. What's the big downside if somebody just goes ahead and just puts somebody up like Vanessa? All of a sudden, you said, you know what, Jeff? I don't like the cut of your jib. I've been reading TMZ. I don't want you around anymore. And just puts him up on the block without a good reason.
No, first of all, if anybody ever uses the word jib in the house, I'm nominating them. But secondly, I mean, she is right. You're going to out yourself, because if nobody understands why a move is being made, then there's obviously some other thing going on that you're not aware of. And if you're not aware of it, that means there's obviously some group making moves on the other side of the house.
Right. Well, but I disagree with that, because I think it's better for Vanessa to make a strategic move and to be non-emotional than it is for her to come across as an emotional player. Because if she's just making this move like, oh, Jeff, I nominated you because you're friends with James, but my target is I don't care. It's not my, you know, I don't vote. Then it's like makes a lot of sense. She just says, I nominated you because you're best friends with James. Then she actually calls out the other side of the house and people are just like, oh, well, that makes sense. Everyone always nominates friends. But when she's like gets in a fight with him, she looks emotional. She looks like she's causing drama. She looks like she's causing problems, and people could easily turn on her.
So there's a comparison I want to make, actually, with this. And I think she's been playing a lot of this week kind of like Tony Blachos. On Survivor, just like all out kind of crazy stuff. And yeah. I like, you remember Tony, he created a fake reason to get out LJ, where he told him a lie and then he was like, oh, LJ's trying to backstab us. It's the same kind of thought process. And I think she's playing a similar kind of game.
That's a good point, Taryn. I didn't think of it like that, but, It makes sense, but it's a very dangerous road
I just
to
think
walk.
Oh,
yeah, it's like you watch her and you're like, what are you doing? This is insanity.
So the rhetoric outside of the house, certainly online over the last couple of days, is that Vanessa is really overplaying all of this. Is that the prevailing thought inside the house?
It depends on who you're asking. Her allies think that she's playing a little like emotional. The people on the outside, or the people who used to be on the inside, are now on the outside. They think that Audrey's behind it and that Audrey's manipulating her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is smart, because hilarious. I think Austin was the one that came up with that plan, right, Taryn? Austin wanted to make sure Audrey was up there for a long time to make it look like Audrey is manipulating Vanessa. Is that correct?
I think it was Steve, actually. Okay, and Austin Steve, might have said something too, but I definitely saw Steve say something about
so that. That goes to show Steve is awesome. Steve is smart. Steve is playing because he wants to keep his alliances safe. So that way they can blame it on Audrey, which Audrey's the scapegoat now. But it makes sense, because if they think Audrey manipulates Vanessa, then who cares? Because then it's not
Vanessa just needs to take down the intensity with her gameplay with the people. Because when she has these conversations one-on-one, every time I hear her talking to people, she's just super intense. And everything's like a make or break situation with every single person in the house. And I feel like that may come back to haunt her if she's not careful.
Yeah. Alliance-wise, the house I feel like is very interesting right now, where you have the Vanessa grouping, which they branded themselves the Sixth Sense. Well, first off, how's that for an alliance name? Taryn?
I think it's pretty good, actually. Apart from possible copyright issues.
Yes. Well,
Sixth Sense.
if anything, in a season full of twists, it's certainly an appropriate nickname for your alliance.
That is true. Well, I thought they were called the Freaks and Geeks.
Freaks and Geeks?
There's about like five alliances within that grouping of people.
There's just been
Which Vanessa is a part of every single one of them.
Okay.
What if Haley Joel Osment switches out with one of them? That's part of it.
Get ready for a takeover! Whoa!
Wait, I have a question.
Haley Joel Osment, where's he been?
Hey, everybody. It's me. Like, who is that? Like, it's me, Haley Joel Osment. I see a ghost, and her name is Jackie.
Yes, exactly.
I'm on a big twist.
But wait, I have a good question. Okay,
Jackie was dead the whole time.
There is a BB takeover this week, but what the heck? I mean, we didn't even get anything. We know
you
they like to
gronked.
Party.
Yes.
Yeah, we're getting gronked.
What they're good? They had a foam party. What is that like? Does that mean the whole week is going to be partying? Like, I don't get it.
Hold on, Taryn is a Patriots fan. You're going to offend him, making fun of the Gronk week.
I'm not making fun of Gronk, but WTF?
Yeah, what's going on? What's going on with Rob Gronkowski?
I'm going to be the leader no matter what. I'm the Tom Brady here.
No, Gronkowski. Gronkowski.
So the twist is that it's the thing where they play a sound in the house and they all have to run to a particular place and party. So like the first one was like a shower party. They all have to get into the shower, turn the water on and like music play.
This was like our Big Brother Says in 12. I remember reading it. Yeah.
That's basically all it is.
It's just way more alcohol involved probably.
Well, I'm always pro more alcohol for the house guest, because that's when the drama happens. Everyone is online on Periscope. I do hear you on Periscope, by the way. I'm reading your comments.
Okay.
They keep saying, when is Brenchel going to be doing a takeover? And
We have not seen the former house guest
not
takeover.
Yet.
Give us, you know what, bring like 10 of us in, or 8 of us, or just have something crazy with it.
What would they call it? A BBBB takeover?
Well, there hasn't been that many. You know, if they're going to do a former house guest one, I feel like it's going to be highly competitive for who's going to get it. Certainly, Brenchel would come to mind. You got to think that there's going to be a Dan Gieseling potentially
Dr.
in the Will. Mix.
Dr. Will.
What if Dan and Will did one on the same week?
I would be Brenchel-fied.
And don't forget the Big Brother 16 contingent of whether you could have a Derek, whether you could have a Frankie, whether you could have a Zach.
They have like a cop challenge with Derek.
It's going to be interesting to see. Maybe you guys have inside information. I mean, you got to think this is coming soon. I mean, if we're at the point where it's Rob Gronkowski and you can't even get him there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to rank NFL players, I mean, is Rob Gronkowski one of the 20 most popular or most famous NFL players?
I'm going to say nobody in the house knew who he was.
Yeah.
Am I being
was at least one or two people that knew, but the rest did not.
Am I being a Jet fan right now? What is Rob Gronkowski one of the top 20 most iconic NFL players?
You're outing me. I'm the wrong person to ask. I do not follow sports. But I have heard of him over pretty much anybody else other than like Tom Brady. So,
but did any of the house guests know, Taryn?
I think Shelly and maybe one other person. A lot of people were like Clay.
Clay had to.
And I think Austin might have known.
I'd like to say hello to my mom, my dad, my brother, my cousin, my three cousins on my mother's side.
And
I'd like to vote for Julie. Thank you.
Jason has said to them specifically that shout-outs are annoying and you shouldn't do it, especially when you're voting. And Clay's still doing it. Yes. I don't understand.
Yes.
Because Clay will do it until he gets evicted.
Please stop with the Clay
I can't wait until Clay is on the block. His nomination speech will be all about shout-outs.
Mm.
Not nomination, his eviction speech.
How many shout-outs can he fit into his speech?
Okay. Yeah. All right, so that's a whole different podcast of ranking the top 20 most well-known NFL players. I think
none of us are, well, you should be here, but we should not be here for that.
Yeah.
No, I should for sure not.
Okay. But anyway, I mean, if we're at the point where we get it, Rob Gronkowski, and it's a real stretch of what we're doing. Like, why aren't we just having former house guests do takeover?
Right. Well, and that was my preseason. I spent hours texting with Danielle and Dominic. Shout out to Danielle and Dominic. I love you. I love you guys so much. Couples Alliance.
That's Clay.
Yeah, I think that was my Clay impression. Okay. Anyways, I texted with her and we were like, okay, do we think it's going to be former Big Brother house guests every week, or do we think it's going to be like celebrities every week? And Danielle was convinced celebrities every week the whole season, because she said she thinks it carries more weight for CBS saying like, oh, we're Big Brother and we're doing this, all this stuff. And I was like, that's way too expensive for them. And I was like, well, maybe they're going to have Big Brother house guests every week because then they want to set it up for an all-star season to see who people like, or just to kind of bring back people that people remember. But now it seems like
you were wrong on all
fronts.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was cross promotion, like if they were, you know, they were promoting other things, kind of like Kathy Griffin came on, she was promoting something.
Right.
But what is Gronkowski promoting?
Yeah, because I wasn't going to watch football this season, but now that Rob Gronkowski was on Big Brother, I think I'll watch every CBS NFL game.
Yeah, well,
exactly. And it's not like Gronkowski fans are tuning into Big Brother in order to see him do a pre-recorded segment for about 30 seconds, you know?
Right, exactly. And then we also thought, like, okay, so they had Phil first week. Will they have Jeff Probst? And then will they bring in, you know, some big bangers and...
Whoa! What?
From the Big Bang.
Whoa, that's wild.
And, you know, like some Halle Berry from Extant and all their CBS shows, which would make sense because they normally do that.
James
but
would be excited if you brought in some big bangers. I'm all over that, Jilly.
All right. Yeah. Well, long story short, I don't know. I think it's just now it's like just gratuitous, like CBS Big Brother showing that like we have celebrities on every week.
Right now it does seem like, hey, look at the celebrities we can pull down.
Exactly.
Kathy Griffin, Rob Gronkowski.
Right.
Well, the best was in the very first week when they did that with the movie thing, and you're like, who is that guy? Like, I'm like,
the E.T. host.
Yeah, he's an E.T. I have no idea.
Oh, Evan Frazier.
Yeah.
That was super weird.
That was so weird, because I thought, like, why wouldn't they have, you know, like a Marcellus or someone like that? Because Marcellus is a host. He does fashion podcasting, or fashion hosting
fashion
on television.
Podcasting.
Not podcasting.
Look at what he's wearing. Yeah, oh, my God.
So if you could see this, it would be great. Yeah.
He does fashion hosting on like Fox and CBS and stuff. So I was like, well, why not bring in, you know, kill two birds with one stone, like an old Big Brother house guest? But it seems like they again are showing how much they don't like the Big Brother house guest. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. All right. So we expect Jeff to go up in the renomination on Monday. Is Jeff going home this week, Taryn?
He should be. I don't want to count him out yet, though. I do think he has some outs. It just depends on if he's able to play it right. He mentioned that he might want to start to blow some people's games up. I assume he's talking about Meg, Jason, and James. So if he can sell those guys as a trio, like if he leaves, they're still going to be a trio. If James leaves, he's done with them because they turned their back on him. He might be able to get some people to his side, but the momentum is definitely there for him to leave.
So do we see a Jeff meltdown this week? I mean, that's what I'm wondering. Because if Jeff gets on the block, I just have a sneak suspicion he's melting down. And James, to me, just seems like he might be able to maintain a little bit better.
He had a talk with Vanessa today where she was really hard on him. I actually felt bad for Jeff, and that's hard to do. It's really hard to do.
Oh, wow.
He was very calm throughout it. She basically told him, you're going up, and nothing you say is going to change my mind. And I'm basically gonna hope that you go home.
Oh, really? She said that?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
But the question is, like, it comes down to it: is Jackie gonna ever vote against him and rally the troops against him? Because regardless, they have a bond that nobody else has in that house. And
yeah, but is that bond as strong as you think?
I kind of think it is, because
yeah. But Rob even on his podcast pointed out in the very beginning of the show, they brought them on and it was like, oh, this couple that traveled around the world together, and it's like, so how's it going? Yeah, we're cool. Like, oh, yeah, but you guys are, like, together and stuff, right? No, we don't really talk.
Well, just to go back to the – and, you know, I hate that this TMZ story came out, because when I want to talk about that, Jeff has also said some creepy things in the house. Now it's like, but he didn't do this creepy thing that TMZ is saying that he did.
Yeah.
But he made it sound like that back in the beginning of the show that, oh, well, Jackie wanted to date me, but, you know, she wasn't ready for me. And it's like, you really get the sense that if any of these women said they wanted to date Jeff, that he'd be all for it.
Yes, absolutely.
I think Jeff thinks that in his head, which is the weirdest thing. But, like, then again, is Jeff going to be able to convince Liz, to vote for him to keep him in the house? But, I mean, maybe not Julia, but does he have Liz's vote? Because Liz is not here all week, but Liz will be, they'll be voting together.
That is interesting. Wait, does Liz always pop back in for the vote?
They both pop. They, no matter who's switching in and out, they're both in for the vote, and they vote as one.
Oh, okay.
All right. Anything else from the live feeds you want to cover before we jump into the questions?
I do want to point out we've been a little hard on Vanessa. She has had very ups and very, very downs this week, which is a terrible way to put it. But she did very, very well with the information she got with the twin twist. She did what nobody else in that house could do, which was use that information to her advantage, because information is currency in the Big Brother house. She told that secret to so many people to solidify relationships and build alliances. It got to the point where she was telling people in different combinations, and they were all pretending that they hadn't heard it yet, so that she could solidify that particular group, and then telling the specific person one-on-one first to solidify that one-on-one relationship. And she's built herself in an array of alliances where she is at the center of everything, and nobody has realized it yet. So she did really well with that, and then turned around and went crazy.
Vanessa did what Davon should have done, right?
Exactly.
Because that's what we wanted Davon to do.
She the difference between a poker player and a poker dealer.
Yeah, good zing. Oh, God.
We have two in here? We have the double bell action?
Oh, Jesus.
I had to get my bell in.
She took the bell that Dominic had?
I have a question, you guys. Someone on Periscope said that Liz and Julia did not vote as one last week. Am I incorrect?
Yeah. Julia voted last week. And
right.
Then they switched afterwards.
But they were voting, their vote counts as one, right?
Yes, yeah, it only counts as one.
Okay, okay.
Okay. What if one of them changes their mind? They're like, no, I changed my mind.
What? No.
It was changed my mind.
Yeah, what if when they voted together, they had said different names?
That would be epic.
Julie would epic. Just, her head would explode. Yes. Before we jump into a few more questions, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, our friends over at Stamps.com, because if you're in the Big Brother house, you can't get to the post office, but luckily enough for us outside the house, we can print postage without even having to go to the post office.
I made a stamp on Stamps.com.
Yes.
I really did. Hey,
well, with Stamps.com, you could do all this stuff. Rachel, you actually made a stamp on Stamps.com?
Yeah, go there. It's a little heart shape. It was really fun.
When the regular postage wasn't cutting it for you?
Well, I mean, it's more fun when you can do your own.
All right. Well, stamps.com, you can save time and the hassle of going to the post office and you print the stuff from your computer and get official U.S. postage for any letter or package. You'll save money with stamps.com, too. You get the exact postage you need the instant you need it. No more overpaying. I've got the stamps.com scale at my house. I love it. It's fantastic for anything I need to, that I would normally do at the post office. Right now, you can use our promo code RHAP for the special offer. No risk free trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes a digital scale and $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in RHAP. That's stamps.com and enter RHAP. Okay. Let's take some more questions here with now we that we can include the live feed stuff. Let's start off with Nick2S. So Invisible this week were Jackie, Steve, and Becky. Is this good news or bad news for them? Is it good news or bad news to be invisible in week three?
Oh, great news for them, but they're also floaters. So for as a viewer, I don't even who Jackie, like we've said all the episode, who is she? She's not even on the show.
Steve also had a really great week this week.
Steve has?
Because he got brought in by Vanessa.
Right. I love Steve. I think he's great.
So, fantastic.
Who is Steve working with then at this point?
So Steve has a Final Two alliance with Vanessa called the Students of Sound.
Okay, I do know about that.
Then she brought him into the Freaks and Geeks alliance, which is her, Steve, Austin, and Liz.
Okay.
And then they're planning on doing another alliance, which is those people plus Shelley and Clay.
So Liz seems to have relationships with them, but she also seems to have relationships with the other people in the house. Where does Liz tend to stand right now? Because I know we've heard stuff where like some people are like, oh yeah, Liz likes one person, but Julia likes another, and vice versa, like the Austin. Rachel was telling me that she heard that one liked Austin, one didn't like Austin. Was this true?
That's all the guy's speculation. Okay. I don't think she's into really either of them.
Yeah.
Liz is a really flirty person. So she's flirted with Austin a lot. She's flirted with Jeff a lot. She even flirted a little with James, which makes Austin really jealous. And then Julia has...
Austin is jealous of James?
Oh, no!
Austin was very upset because when Liz came into the house, she slept down in James's bed, and he was furious with her the next morning. Like, you can't be sleeping with them. They're the enemy. Like,
Also,
he had semi-good reasoning because Julia wouldn't do that because Julia doesn't have that flirty relationship with them. Julia is much more in line with Austin Vanessa than Liz is because Liz has more relationships outside of that.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's take this question. This is from Mr. Epic. Is it just me or did the episode make Jeff look like a complete idiot? Oh, come on. That wasn't
the episode.
They
gave him the dodo edit.
Yeah. I think that it made Jeff look like he was getting his nose in business where he shouldn't be. I don't think he looked like an idiot. He actually looked smart that he's figuring this twin twist out, but it makes him look like that's why they want to get rid of him. Remember, they have to tell a story. It's a TV show.
Yeah, well, like they gave him those moments where he was like, why are we talking about Austin? Oh, because Austin won HOH.
Yeah.
Like they gave him that like stop.
The dodo edit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are you talking about, Jeff?
Okay. From a viewer standpoint, should we root for? Are we rooting for James or Jeff to be voted out this week?
I root for Jeff to be voted out because I think he's creepy. I didn't like him this whole season. I don't like him as a cast. I don't like him, whatever. But as a play, just like watching the house beyond my own feelings, I think that he's not a good player. I think James is a lot better of a player, and James is more interesting of a player. But if we want to see Jeff go crazy, maybe we want James to go home.
Yeah, that's where I'm thinking.
I know that's the hard part because I was thinking the same thing. It's like from a personal standpoint, I do want to see Jeff go home for the things he said in the house. But in terms of entertainment value, there's a very good chance that Jeff stays and just drives people even more crazy.
If Jeff stays, he could be like a second Audrey in the house.
Yeah.
He's cut all ties and it's...
And maybe Jeff and Audrey make an alliance. Who knows?
Whoa.
Who knows?
Okay. Let's go to Survivor Fan 7. With the emergence of the Sixth Sense, do you think that we could finally see a legit lasting house divide in the coming weeks with split votes and power shifts?
Never. It's Big Brother, you guys. Come on. You know how you have your alliances, and then as soon as the other side of the house comes into power, all the whole alliance is going to turn their back because they don't want to be the ones going up. I don't see that happening. I wish. And when we played, like Brennan and I, we were pretty loyal to our alliances, but there's always that point where you do have to, unfortunately, save yourself in the end.
I mean, there's been so many alliances. That's the other problem. If there was just like one or two alliances that were really felt like they were core alliances and strong, but there's so many people that have two or three alliances, and that's where I think the problem is.
Yeah, and I think smart players will never want a very clear divide because it's a lot easier to get caught playing both sides when there's a clear divide.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, let's take another question. This is from Matt Ketchum. Does Johnny Mac have any other good options besides accepting the nom and throwing these comps?
No!
He seems to be making short-term deals that are insincere and then fleeting in the long term. Now, Johnny Mac talked about how when he gets, told by these people in the house, and I got to do it. You know, he basically says that he doesn't have an option. Does he have an option?
I mean, I think he does, but it's one of those things, and I even heard you guys talk about this on one of the other podcasts, is that it's like fighting the tide. You make it very clear that you're not really with the people. Mm-hmm. So it's like one of those things where Johnny Mac's probably going to get nominated either way. So no matter what he says, he's getting nominated. Now, if he acts like he doesn't mind doing it and he's with the team, then that's much for his favor. But if he acts like he doesn't want to do it and he's against it, then they kind of, you know, then they're more likely to turn against him at some point.
Yeah, and there's the other thing that Johnny Mac could do is act like he's going to throw it. And then when it comes down to it and just be like, I tried to throw it, you know, it didn't work out. So
I think that's always the move.
Yeah, you always have to say yes.
Yeah, say yes to everything.
Okay, this is from Paul Rini. Question for Brenchel. Would you have gone for the easy target in Audrey or risk your game and go against the house to get Jeff out?
I would just get Jeff out because I don't like him.
Yeah, I mean, we probably would go for Jeff, honestly. Usually because we're never with the house. Yeah. So that's a usually dead giveaway.
And I'm pretty sure, I feel like honestly in this house, I think I would be on Audrey's side. I would want to work with her, and I would know she's a big target, so I would always want to keep working with her. So I don't think that would even be a question, but for sure, I don't care about making moves. I could care less if the people in the Big Brother house like me or don't like me. I want actually to piss them off as much as I can.
What? I would never really get.
Okay. Kevin Fox says, Rob and Brenchel, how long will the Sixth Sense Alliance last?
Until next week when Austin and Vanessa are nominated.
Oh, do you feel like it's going to be a quick trip out the door in here for Vanessa? That it's always a short walk, it seems like, from the HOH room to out the door sometimes. Will that be the case for Vanessa?
I mean, we haven't really seen the power switch that fast just this season because it's always been like, you know, there's never been a clear divide, nobody on the... So I think if we see a Jeff or a James win HOH next week, that there's a good shot that we'll see somebody like that go home.
But I actually don't see, like, let's say Jeff goes home this week. I don't see James nominating Vanessa. I do see him going after Austin. And Jeff was going after Austin anyways. So it's...
Per Audrey, I believe,
they're making smart choices.
Okay. Yeah, she also has an ace in the hole. Which is that she can throw Shelly and Clay under the bus if she needs to, because they're the people that have really betrayed those that group of people on the other side.
Exactly. She has Shelly and Clay to throw under the hole, and then she has her scapegoat of Audrey. So Vanessa should be pretty good, but you're 100% right. Like, she Shelly and Clay were supposed to be in the final three deal with James, and they turned on him.
Okay. Let's take another couple of few questions. Travis Madness says, who is the biggest floater right now in the house? And I feel like we've missed the obligatory Rachel. Who is the floater that needs to get the life vest?
Floaters, grab a life vest. Jackie and Meg.
Meg's at least part of an alliance.
The floater alliance.
You're anti-Meg.
You know, I like Meg as a person. I love her, but I am super disappointed in her gameplay because I really expected a lot more from her.
Why?
Because preseason she was like, I'm pro. I'm going to be awesome. I'm pro winning competitions and I'm pro hanging out with the house and being everyone's best friend. And I'm going to go in there and win. And now I feel like she's like, I'm going to go in there and have a summer camp out.
Well, she seems to be getting bounced around by the guys. That's what I felt like, at least in the first week.
I feel
like
her and Jackie are having s'mores in the backyard while everyone else is playing Big Brother.
I think she was telling you what you wanted to hear in the interview.
Yeah, I think that's what she does.
No!
Let's take this one from Nisi Lewis. Do me a favor. discussed Vanessa's reason to take Johnny Mac deep into the game, saying he'll never win. Smart or stupid?
Good one.
Stupid.
Is it smart to take Johnny Mac far into the game if you're Vanessa?
Absolutely stupid.
No!
Yeah. Johnny Mac is now going on 2 POV wins, 2 Battle of the Block throwing. He's friends with everyone.
He's going to win.
And he's competitive. Yes. You take him to the season, he's going to win. And he's showing us that he can win competition.
But for Johnny Mac to win, Johnny Mac has to dip down in the middle of the season because he's got way too much attention right now. Because right now where he's at,
it's too hot.
He's too hot. Yeah, people are going to be on him if he doesn't kind of dip down. So if he can slide under the radar and probably go like 2 weeks without being nominated.
Yeah, but I love Johnny Mac, and I'm worried he's going to be nominated. It's going to be Johnny Mac, Meg. See, like what we saw last year is going to start happening again this year when they're going to nominate the same exact people every single week for Battle of the Block. Meg will be on the block because Meg is their, like Jason said, the pretty princess or whatever. She's never going to go home. Nobody's voting her out. Same with Johnny Mac. Johnny Mac is going to go on the block.
Taryn, could you rank these four for me? Dr. Will, Derek, Dan Giesling, Johnny Mac.
is that
Dan Giesling number one, first of all,
and Rachel Riley.
Oh, Taryn, you better.
Well, I already put Dan in number one, so I can't change. Then obviously Rachel.
Oh, there you go.
Yes,
there you go. There you go.
And then I think Johnny Mac is the kind of player, kind of like Judd from season 15. Where he has potential in the early game, but he's clearly laying low, and you're not going to really see whether or not he's going to be a good player until he gets to the point where he needs to really turn it on. Yeah. And so if Johnny Mac can turn it on and start playing a really good game, then I think he's playing a perfect game, and it's really not smart to take him far. But yeah. If he's going to be somebody who's going to continue to lie low past the point where he should have turned it on, then he's exactly the person they see.
So who's in a better spot right now, Steve or Johnny Mac?
Steve is in a pretty good spot right now. Steve is in a better spot than Johnny Mac right now. Johnny Mac, if he turns it on later, I think could be in a better spot at that point if he's able to turn it on.
Yeah. I just feel like with Johnny Mac, I know everybody's all impressed with what he's doing right now, but I feel like this is going to be a thing where in a couple of weeks when Johnny Mac is voted out, we're going to be like, what happened?
Exactly.
He's going to win the game. What happened?
He was nominated 6 times.
He was nominated 6 times. Like, it wasn't that great. Okay, let's take another question. This is from, it's appropriately Tony's Llama, who says, what do you think of Steve and Clay breaking your hammock tonight?
That was my favorite. Okay, I posted when I saw that. That was awesome. I posted, can someone please, on Rob Has Podcast, hashtag RHAP when you post this video. Make the video of all the seasons that we can see where they have broken the hammock, because we know we have this season, we have the epic Ian battle with the hammock, we have the epic Brendan and Rachel battle with the hammock. It's the house guest versus the hammock, round one.
I think someone falls out every season.
Every season, right?
Hammock watch.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, let's do two more questions. This is from... What's Austin's best path to get to the end?
Austin is playing a good path, but his best path is going to be to lay low from now on. Don't win HOHs. If Austin wins another HOH, he's really going to be in trouble.
Well, you know what? I was not sure if he's playing aloof, like if that actually is Austin or that's just what he wants us to think. Because if that's what he wants everybody to think, like, please, Austin, keep doing that. Mm-hmm. Keep letting people think that you don't really know what's going on. Because that's definitely a good tool in the Big Brother.
I don't know if he's playing.
I know, that's the problem.
Me.
Rachel.
Thank you. Where's Judas?
Yeah, that's true.
We
have not seen Judas.
I was promised in my interviews. We were promised in preseason. Every week in the diary room, we meet
Judas. He was lying. That's what Judas does.
Damn you, Judas.
He lied to you. Taryn, isn't it true that Judas, he's talking about Judas, but Judas is just not happening, right?
It's not happening in the house. So
sorry.
I wonder if he's in the DRs being Judas.
I mean, he talks about it a lot in the DRs, like, oh, Judas is doing this, but I see zero difference.
It's going to be the kind of thing where he gets out of the house and he's like, Judas! And people are like, what are you talking about? Yeah. What was Judas? You're talking about Dan Giesling and Jerry in Big Brother 10?
I feel like people who just watched the show probably don't understand.
Oh, sorry, Tarrant. Sorry, that was great. Can you say that again?
I feel like people watching the show probably don't understand what the Judas reference really even is.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't really explained it.
Season 10, right?
All right. How about this one? This is from Skywise316. How often does Brendan watch the feeds with Rachel?
We watch all the time. We actually have been watching
pretty regularly, mostly because we want to see actually what's going to happen. So we want to see the real conversations. And actually, I will say that I have been enjoying the little tabs they have on the feeds now that you can actually go to specific things.
Yeah, we love that.
It's a little bit easier to find them.
And when we're really like trying to figure out what goes on, we watch the hashtag RHAPs. I'm not even kidding. We're like, did you watch Rob Has a Podcast last night? Did you listen to it? Like, Rob has really great incentive. Or like, not incentive. Insight.
Rob has incentive to listen to this podcast?
If you act now, we'll give you a dollar if you watch the podcast.
Wow, I have a lot of dollars coming.
No, but we listen to Rob Has a Podcast a lot when we can't catch up with the feeds because we know that you guys give it to us real.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Keeping it real.
Wow, that's wild.
All right. Here is the Adair. Who is Brenchel's winner pick?
I got that. Steve?
Oh, my God. Are you okay?
I'm not.
It's okay. Get
what
it together.
Is wrong? All right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. So I think at this point, it's going to be somebody nobody thinks that it's going to make it. So it's going to be
Jackie.
Somebody. No,
Jackie.
Come on. Oh, that's rough. No, it's going to be... I don't know. I think there is a chance it could be a Steve. I don't know. They might get too scared of him towards the end, though.
Okay. Last question. It's a long one from Alex, who says, the losers of Battle of the Block should have punishments beyond staying on the block. It makes throwing B.O.B. a lot less appealing. P.S. Liz and Julie are good looking, but the best looking reality TV sisters are Rachel and Alyssa. Oh!
Thanks, Alex. I love you. Love you forever, Alex. You're the best. I love Liz. I do. I agree. I think they
you
should
love
make,
Liz.
I love Liz and Julia, but I love Alyssa more. At Alyssa Riley, yes, if you're watching, Alyssa.
Okay.
Shout out to Alyssa, my sister.
Let's move on.
Okay. So,
that was thank you, Clay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd like to say my mama June, my brother Pixie, my one-legged chicken named Squawkers, and just everybody
Squawkers?
Back home on the farm.
What?
Squawkers?
Weird. No, I think, what was the question again?
Totally forgot the question. Yeah, but that's usually everything you say. Liz and Joy, the twins.
Yeah, they're cute. I like them.
They're cute. I don't think that was the question.
Yeah,
okay.
It was not.
All right. Taryn.
Oh, Battle of the Block should get
I don't think there should be more of an incentive. Yeah. Here's my question for Battle of the Block. There should not be more of an incentive like I give for people to watch the podcast.
$1 a day.
$1 a day. So I had a thought about Battle of the Block, if this was maybe a way to fix Battle of the Block. What if instead of the nominees playing for Battle of the Block, what if the HOHs had to square off in Battle
that
of the Block
awesome.
To keep
their
to stay HOH and keep their nominations. Would that be better or worse?
That would be better.
I think I would like to see that.
I'd like to at least
to me,
1 week.
It also makes it less variable, right? Because with two people on each team, just like we've already seen, you have one person says, "Oh, I'm gonna throw it," and the other person's screwed. Mm-hmm. So if you have two HOH,
which is it?
Yeah.
And then, well, I think.
Taryn, what are we missing?
I think what you might have happen there is somebody who wins who doesn't want to stay HOH, they'll just nominate two of their closest allies and throw the competition, and then they'll be able to save three people for the week.
But what if whoever wins HOH, the other HOHs, nominees stay up.
How about you don't even nominate people until after you win the Battle of the Block? I guess you have to call it something else because people aren't on the block yet.
Right.
But battle of who gets to make the block.
Battle of HOHs.
I mean, no matter what, with two people getting saved and deciding the nominations, somebody's going to throw it at most of the time because that's what's optimal for most people who are playing, who are forming a strategy.
Yeah, maybe nominating him after the fact would actually add a little bit more pressure in terms of figuring out because, Maybe you have people up there that actually want to be HOH. You know?
Okay. All right. Well, this was a fun show tonight.
So fun.
All right.
Very fun.
Taryn, anything, any closing thoughts you want to tell us from the live feeds?
I think we got through a lot, actually. I think we did well.
All right. So we'll be on the lookout for the veto renomination ceremony tomorrow. That's coming up on Monday, of course. Don't forget my voicemail show. We'll get your voicemails in. We'll get a voicemail from Rachel as well. Rob's website.com/voicemail 323-282-RHAP. All right. Brenchel. What else? What else do we need to talk about?
What else is going on right now in what's going on
with you guys?
Brentel's having a baby.
No, Brent.
We're not pregnant yet, though.
Yeah. False alarm. Yeah. False alarm.
We're not pregnant.
No. Yeah, how do you undo that?
We will have one eventually.
Okay, so we are working on having a baby, but we are not. She is not pregnant yet, so we are not having a baby at the moment.
Within the year.
Yes, okay. Well, again, the pressure, let's take the pressure off and just...
Within the year.
Let's just do things as they should naturally happen.
Within the year. We're going to have twins.
Twins! Name them Luke and Julia.
So they can go up with brother someday.
Yeah, because we need the
But
twin
as long
twins.
As they're both the same size. I just don't want to have...
Yeah, don't want
to... A thick one. Yeah,
we had twins. One is 7 pounds, 2 ounces. We're calling that one thickums. The other one is 7 pounds, 1 ounce. We're calling that one skinny mini.
Clearly you can see the difference. Oh, what are we doing, people?
Okay, follow Brendan and Rachel on Periscope as well. Brendan is a machine on Periscope.
I'm a machiner.
I don't know. I go to bed and I wake up in the morning, I look at my phone and all my notifications are Brendan was on Periscope, Brendan was on Periscope, Brendan was on Periscope, Brendan was on Periscope.
I Periscope when I walk to school and I Periscope when I walk home.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's easy for him. Yeah. I don't walk to school twice a day. So
yes.
We should go to school then.
We'll get on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, I'm up early and I see Brendan walking to school at 5:15 in the morning.
He's right, just showing off.
Rob's dusting off the computer to get ready for the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. And I went on there one time and somebody was like, oh, Rob's in the shower. And Brendan's like, Rob's not awake yet. He's not awake. No, he wouldn't be awake at this time.
Rob's, there's no way he's that hardworking.
No.
Rob sleeps until noon every day.
I was procrastinating doing what I actually had to do and watching Brendan on Periscope.
There we
See,
go.
Rob, now you know how I feel about this. My husband says that to me every day.
What's that?
That I'm not, there's no way I'm awake when he's on Periscope.
You aren't awake. I leave the house and you're sleeping.
That is not correct.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. All right. So, Rachel, where can we see your stuff, your interview with Dave Vaughn?
At RachelEReilly.com. I'll post, at RachelEReilly on Twitter. I'll post all the links, but it'll be on Wet Paint TV tomorrow, I believe, and then or Tuesday. And then it will also be on The Reality Channel.
Whoa. How do we find that?
Reality Channel on YouTube.
Okay. All right, I've got a couple of options here for hashtag, okay?
Bia.
That's option number one.
Please, do not make that. Nobody's going to be able to spell that correctly.
Because if you hold the bell, it doesn't make sound. It's a percussion instrument. You can't hold it. Number two, we have Big Bangers.
Jamie's favorite.
And number three,
Sheldon from Big Bangers.
Number three, Squawkers. Was that the name of Clay's one-legged chicken?
My one-legged chicken named Squawkers back home.
All right, what are we going with?
Squawkers.
Oh, it's Squawkers. What an upset.
Woo! Squawkers was good. That was a good one. Clay's one-legged chicken.
I think Big Bangers is Rob.
Yes, Taryn, do you agree with that? Do you have are you taking over or the Squawkers is the hashtag?
Well, I mean, I think Rachel outranks me here, but I did like Big Bangers a lot.
I know Big Bangers is good.
We're confusing everything. Okay.
Look, everyone on your YouTube feed has
use
said Big Bangers.
Use whatever one you want.
Hashtag Big Bangers.
Use whatever one you want. All right.
Big Bangers is good. We'll take it.
All right, really looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments at robiswebsite.com. We'll be back live again this Wednesday night. Have a good one, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.